Welcome to episode number 93 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me this week, I have Adam Candy. And with me this week, a debut here on the LSR podcast. You have read his work. We have cited his work 100 million times here on the podcast. Matthew Waters. Matthew, thank you for being here with us, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Adam, listen, this is, we kicked Eric out a little while, a few months ago. And then, it was just the three of us there for the longest time. And here we are. We're breaking in a newbie. So what are we going to do? What's the hazing process here? Like, I mean, have you already done it? Did I miss it already?
Well, Matt is a Sixers fan. And so we're going to spend the first 10 minutes of him explaining to me, how did Danny Green screw me last night nearly the way that he did? But no, I'm just kidding. We won't have to do that. Matt is such a market improvement over having Eric here that we just get started and, you just let the good things happen.
And we kid, we love you, Eric. We just we know that you had other responsibilities. Guys, as always, we are on all the places that you find your podcast. So go in, subscribe, rate, and review. That way you don't have to listen to it on the site. It'll get delivered right to your phone. So go in Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, whatever it might be. We really do appreciate that. So Let's look, we're going to talk some numbers. We always do. We're going to get some state updates from Adam a little bit later, but we wanted to have Matt on here real quick because, listen, this was something that maybe you heard last week here on the podcast about us going a little bit crazy over some news about a partnership that had come out within the NHL. Matt, you dug into this nice and deep. You went ahead and started making the calls and making the inquiries and stuff like that. So why don't you rehash what went down just in case people were not on gambling Twitter last week, and then we can kind of go into where it went from there.
Sure. Yeah. So when the story dropped, I think everybody was stunned that this was actually happening. These sports betting partnerships are evolving naturally, but I don't think anybody expected a tout deal, let alone one that nobody had really heard of before. And so the Golden Knights announced that they have this sports betting pick partnership with UPickTrade, based out of Guadalajara, Mexico. And from there, I mean, it was pretty immediate that the heat started to be put on the Golden Knights. We didn't get any information. We didn't know what this deal really entailed. We didn't know if UPickTrade could offer bets, on or against the Knights. We didn't know any of that. And we weren't hearing any of that either. Nobody was answering phone calls. Nobody was answering emails. Nobody was answering Twitter DMs. Nobody was answering anything. And I just started going down the C-suite of the Golden Knights and looking for additional information, and happened to get someone who, if you saw his title, you would be shocked that he didn't know the partnership was happening, and certainly didn't know it was being announced. So there wasn't a whole lot of cohesiveness with this at all. And it took 72 hours for it to be repealed. And I think that was both longer and shorter than a lot of us expected it to take.
Now, Adam, this was, we talked about this on the pod last week, and we, I had my rant, you had your rant, we did our thing here, but one of the things, this was very new whenever we did the pod last week. I mean, it really just come across within the last couple of hours. One of the things we didn't know was going to happen, though we were fairly certain of it. This was one of the few times that everybody in the whole world agreed on something. Like, there was no dissenting opinion whatsoever about this. Every single person I saw was of the same opinion, which was really, what in the hell were the Golden Knights thinking?
The legal market, the offshore market, the squares, the sharps, the bloods, the crips, the Republicans, the Democrats, everyone came together to say, what are you doing? And yeah, the Golden Knights did not say anything for a few days. But then come Saturday morning, we had a statement from the Golden Knights basically just saying, it's over and we're not telling you anymore. And for a lot of people, that probably was enough. There was a report that came through from another news source that contacted UPickTrade, and UPickTrade expressed shock that the deal was over. And let's be honest, for a small company coming from another country that doesn't know the landscape here all that well, I can understand why they might be shocked that we go through and sign a partnership deal. And then 3 days later, some idiots on Twitter say that they don't like it and it's gone. So that's kind of where we are here at the moment, where, you know, the heat has certainly been turned down, but there are a lot of remaining questions as to how this got as far as it did in the first place.
So Matt, as you started digging in, I mean, what did you find out about this company? Because look, I mean, I've been in and around this space for a long time, and I've, you know, whether I've actually gone to a website or not, I thought I'd heard of pretty much anyone who was anybody that was any sort of player within the space. And then this comes through and I was like, how did this happen? And too, like, how did this happen with someone that I've never even heard of?
Right. Yeah. Going to the website was just kind of a trip in and of itself. I mean, you get the absurdity of the deal announced, and then you go to the website, and there's just front and center, it says you make money best by sports betting. And what the company does is it's $89 a month per sport to get picks. And they on the front page and then elsewhere, they said more than 6,000 of their clients are now making a living by sports betting based off of their information. And right next to that was the Vegas Golden Knights logo, official sponsor. And so it was a really bad look. And you couldn't really find out a whole lot about the company because it was kind of bare bones. They did list all their picks. But it was just really shocking to see such a message that is, of course, the opposite of responsible gambling that you would expect somebody in the U.S. to partner with and know those details, right next to the Golden Knights logo. It was just not great for them.
And as we dug in a little bit further, it's like there were a couple of other arms of this business too, right? Like there was a pick service, but then there was also some other kind of other shady arms, it seemed like, of the business as well.
Yeah, they also could provide you data so you could make the information, the decisions yourself. That was a separate deal for $89 as well. There was a lot going on there, and it was a part of a bigger conglomerate. There was really just a lot going on there. And the fact that we were getting no information and not even the simplest questions answered, it just made you realize, okay, something's going to change here pretty quick.
So when all said and done, as you mentioned, so the partnership was announced, the Golden Knights took to Twitter and said that they had ended the relationship with the U-Pick trade. But has anything further come out from that? Have they said why? Have they said how this happened? Do we know anything further than just kind of the basics of everything?
No, not yet. We don't know a whole lot of anything still. We are still guessing on a lot of this. And again, from what I spoke to with this gentleman in the C-suite, he didn't have any information that this was happening. So I can't understand what processes they must have gone through. I can tell you they're probably going to go through more processes next time before they ever do something like this again. But no, the Golden Knights said, we're not going to tell you anything. And that was that.
And to add something to what Matt's saying, he's being very diplomatic with all of this. The last name of the person that he talked to in the C-suite is very strikingly similar to the last name of the owner of the franchise. I won't say exactly who it is, but you do the math.
Adam, so, you know, before we let Matt go, I do want to like just have a general conversation here just amongst the three of us about, you know, stuff like this kind of moving forward with other leagues and teams and things like that. I mean, listen, as we move into, and I think, you know, we thought we'd kind of hit on every single angle of all these things. And then something like this pops up and you're like, wow, because I thought this was so out of reach that I never thought that this was an angle that we would have to tackle here. But, you know, I think we probably are getting to the point now where definitely at least the leagues, if not every single team, should probably have like a sports betting / gambling consultant on staff, because the sponsorship opportunities, the all the stuff that goes along with the gambling and all the stuff that's going along with the expansion through all of this. I mean, like we mentioned when we were talking about this the initial time, the press release was by the NHL. Like, the press release wasn't even by the Golden Knights themselves. And so, you know, Matt, I'll start with you on this, but I mean, it seems to me, look, we've seen the PGA Tour embrace gambling. We've seen and actually partner with Action Network on this. We've seen, obviously, the NHL very open to something like this, like getting done with these leagues. It seems like we need to kind of, at this point, the leagues need someone that they can rely on that has accurate information as to what partnerships are actually getting done and who these companies are and what actually the perception is amongst the people out there, because obviously that position, that group of people, whatever it might be, doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're what, more than 2.5 years post PASPA at this point. These leagues have done these deals, but there's way more to gaming, and there's just more kinds of deals that you could do than the general, you know, partnership executive, advertising executive, marketing executive may know. So yeah, definitely at the league level, that should be a given. And, you know, there are some people, but maybe not as involved with the teams as they should be. But yeah, I think at this point, it's kind of on the teams to do it themselves. They have to have somebody that knows about this. And you have to be sure that what you're giving your customers, your clients, your fans, you have to be sure it's good stuff and not a shady tout deal.
And Adam, you know, look, we're here in Vegas. Of course, the Knights are here in Vegas. So I think you're in my Twitter feed was even more lit up about this than maybe even the other people's out there, because we have local people as well that we have going through ours. And a lot of people were saying the same thing that you and I kind of said off air whenever we were talking about this last week was, you know, a 5-minute phone call to me, a 5-minute phone call to you, a 5-minute conversation with a myriad of other people that we know here in town who understand the industry and understand how things go. And all of this could have been avoided. This never happens. That you understand very rapidly why the perception of this is such a bad idea. It does lead me to believe that there, maybe even on a team level, there should be some sort of, you know, gaming/gambling/sports betting strategist, like, you know, for lack of a better term, expert, but not in the gambling expert that we know in the from that field. But like someone who just knows the industry very well and understands what is and isn't, you know, kind of acceptable in all this stuff.
Matt, I'm glad you've brought this up so that I can use this platform here on the LSR podcast to make the announcement of the foundation of LSR Consulting Incorporated. Matt is going to be on offer, on loan, it's sort of like a first taste for free out to the professional sports industry. And then we'll discuss rates moving forward. But to the point that Matt Brown is making here, we have so many Matts in this company. I need to be very clear.
I didn't even want to get into that, but yes, yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, like, I know.
And here I am breaking the seal. But so when we went to contact the National Hockey League, there is a separate business communications unit. So they don't just have their PR. They have a separate business PR staff. And I've worked with someone there in the past. But then I went and looked at the staff directory. There are 4 separate people who work in the business communications office. I want to believe that someone within even that 4-person staff with a consult from the Golden Knights could have stopped this. So even if you didn't go outside, the call could have come from inside the house for someone to say to you, hey, there's a potential issue here. And the perception at large comes back to something you just mentioned, Mr. Brown, the idea that our Twitter feeds probably lit up more than others. That's because here in Vegas, we understand that the hurdles that the U.S. sports betting industry has to clear in order to gain the trust, just in perception, of everyone out there who doesn't know sports betting, who doesn't understand any of this. That is such a much higher burden than the offshore industry has to go through, than the tout industry has to go through, et cetera, because you're trying to say, look, the regulated market is better because things like this can't happen. And you know what? It happened. And not only did it happened right here in the gambling capital of the world.
Yeah, we are pretty sure that the Golden Knights got the picture. Hopefully the other teams around the league, hopefully the other leagues out there got the picture. And hopefully something like this is not anything that we have to be worrying about moving forward. Matt, we love your work, of course, over there on Legal Sports Report, and keep up the awesome, awesome job that you're doing. And we'll have you on the podcast more often, my friend.
Sure. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Have a good one. Great to have Matt on the podcast. We were joking about, you know, breaking him in here, but really and truly we've, you know, the great work that he's been doing over there. We're going to try and have, you know, more of your guys on here, Adam, as often as we can here. We'll rotate in Brad, we'll rotate in Pat, we'll rotate in Matt. And of course, Dustin will be back with us on the regular, but you know, we talk about these guys' work all the time and we certainly want to get them on here to expand on the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's great for the three of us who are reading a lot and talking to some folks that we know around the industry about these stories to add perspective. But those three guys that you just mentioned are the boots on the ground. They're the ones who are talking to the principals involved in the story every day. They do fantastic work at Brad Allen NFL, at Pat Evans, at By Matthew Waters on Twitter. Follow all of them individually, because even though we have all of the coverage at Legal Sports Report, these guys are sometimes putting things on their Twitter feeds that aren't making it to the website, just little details and nuggets throughout the day. So great sources of information if you follow them individually.
So let's go ahead and talk some stock here, because this is one of the things that, and it has not stopped. We've been talking about this, you know, I mean, 6 months plus here on the podcast, Adam, and we were wondering, you know, when is, you know, DraftKings not going to be the talk on CNBC all the time and MSNBC and all the, but that's not the case. I mean, like, I was watching literally on Friday and they were talking about DraftKings again and they were talking about whatever. So like, this sports betting stuff is certainly not going away. And certainly while we're in the middle of the pandemic, I think a lot of people understand as well that, I mean, this is the thing that's really floating, you know, some of these places, and it's not stopping here. And so we've got some news with a few different companies, actually.
Yeah, I figured it was probably best to combine some of these earnings mm-hmm. calls into one area, because I think there are some common themes that weave through, especially because two of them that we got year-end reports on this past week were DraftKings and Flutter, the parent company of FanDuel. And I think we saw very similar themes emerge from both calls. One, the stocks held steady despite some massive losses that these companies took in the past year. And it's not surprising that they mm-hmm. took these losses, because they are spending at a prodigious rate right now to try to bring people in here in the gold rush days of the U.S. sports betting industry. So that brings us to number two, which is massive marketing costs. Flutter alone talked about nearly $500 million in marketing costs just last year for FanDuel. FanDuel, of course, has achieved number one position in the U.S. market writ large. DraftKings does have the number one spot in a number of states. But what we saw is that the stock market is not fazed at all by these reports. In fact, we saw DraftKings put out its report late last week, held steady on Friday, actually gained 10% on Monday, up to about $68, where it closed yesterday. Now, of course, Flutter is not U.S. listed, but of course, if you want to go find that internationally, you can. And that is a broad-based gaming business that we have talked at length about here on the podcast over time, that has also Foxbet and a number of international holdings as well, and is well positioned here moving forward. Also, we should mention that they do not have the stock landscape to themselves, do the folks at DraftKings. The Score, based in Toronto, has been listed in Canada, but its shareholders voted recently to do a dual listing here in the US. So they went public this past week with a listing on NASDAQ. Their IPO at about $27 a share ended up going over their initial offering of what they were expecting to offer, and pulled out a market cap of over $1 billion. So the Score, of course, is well positioned in Canada, where they're based, where legislation to legalize sports betting is moving at a pretty good pace right now. They are a popular talk for M&A target, although they deny that that is the case, still thinking that they might be someone that will be acquired in the future is the talk among the industry.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I think that, you know, we can mention about a DraftKings and a Flutter is, on top of the sports betting side of things as well. I mean, yes, on the DraftKings side, limited offering, much more robust on the Flutter side because they have a bunch of other brands underneath them. But the casino side of things, as well, as we've seen, like, those numbers just continue to grow. Those numbers continue to, every time they come out, make us go, why are these states not doing, like, just passing everything all at once? Why is this sports betting only and not online casino? And, you know, yes, DraftKings certainly doesn't have the offerings that some of these other places have. But I mean, that has been a really big moneymaker for those guys.
You know, when we talk about the U.S. sports betting opportunity, really, in the long run, we're talking a lot about the U.S. online casino opportunity for the states that allow it, which is a very small slice of the country right now. But we know that New Jersey and Pennsylvania have it. We know that Michigan is coming. And we know that in some other larger states, a real iGaming market could prove lucrative, not just for the companies in the business, but for states in terms of the tax revenue that they can bring in. You know very well from your length of time throughout the various forms of this industry that a DFS customer can be sold up to a sports betting customer who can be sold up to a casino customer. And that casino customer is by far the highest value to a company that they're going to get. That is why they cost the most to acquire as well. So when you can lower the cost of acquisition by bringing them in either DFS or sports betting customers, then that certainly becomes attractive for for companies like DraftKings, like FanDuel, like Penn National with Barstool, like BetMGM that can cross sell you over to online casino.
We talk numbers here on this podcast, Adam, and we always are pretty interested in the Nevada numbers. We have seen Nevada get eclipsed at this point. We understand that it is no longer at least the sports betting capital of the world when it comes to money that's flowing through the state. But look, it's not falling off of the planet here. And you and I both know, like we said, the experience in Nevada for these bigger events is never going to go away either. We're still going to get the business for March Madness and Super Bowl and even the Masters and the bigger sporting events like opening weekend of the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, listen, the numbers certainly as get compared to these other states because it was Nevada and Nevada only for the longest amount of time. Where do we sit with this new batch that we got out here?
Well, it's really interesting, Matt, because we did not have high hopes for January because Nevada had finished the year on a pretty sour note with low capacity allowed by statewide mandate in the casinos. And we thought that because Nevada has been so behind the times in terms of modernizing its mobile landscape, that it was going to continue to suffer until people could come back in droves in terms of tourism. And that was not the case necessarily last month. When it came to January, we saw that Nevada posted more than $600 million in handle. And mind you, this includes some of the lead up to the Super Bowl, but doesn't include the actual Super Bowl, which falls in February. So there'll still be some bleed over when it comes to the month of February. We can get that report in another 30 days. But Nevada ended up there among the top three in the country after we saw some numbers out of Illinois, out of Michigan that suggested that it could be a state that falls down out of the top five before all that long. So they still do lag in mobile share. And that is sort of potentially the canary in the coal mine for what could come for Nevada down the line. You're looking at between 60 and 65% mobile share as opposed to roughly 90% up to 95 in a lot of places throughout the rest of the country. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward. But at least for another month, Nevada still right in the thick of things.
What about my friends up in Colorado? Again, my state that I was very interested to continue to monitor because there are a million options up there currently. Everything from the old school traditional books that you and I know here in Vegas to, of course, the new guys on the block as well.
You know, the Colorado market has been the talk for, I mean, how long now, Matt? Like, we've talked about this market from before it came on earlier this year in the middle of the pandemic, all the way through summer when it was jokey, jokey, ha ha table tennis, to now when we say we have a wide open market that is up at 98% mobile share. And they brought in, I want to make sure I get this number correct, $327 million wagered last month. Think about the size of Colorado and the fact that comparatively to the gambling capital here in Nevada, to seeing numbers, in the 900 millions for a populous state like New Jersey, and think that for a market that hasn't had a full year yet, that's pretty impressive for Colorado. So, you know, it's not anything different than what we'd expect for a market that opened with a model that looks a lot like New Jersey in terms of low taxes, low barriers to entry, a number of local or regional based operators who've been able to get involved. And so the one thing that has maintained that it sticks out from other markets, Matt, is the fact that table tennis is still the number five most popular sport in Colorado, more popular than hockey. Have definitely seen it suggested in a couple of places on Twitter that there could be some professional action that's keeping that going more than just a novelty. And we'll see how that plays out in the long run. But Colorado had a great month.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point that, you know, the population in Colorado, if you're not aware, I mean, it's the 21st most populous state. I mean, it's like right there with a Minnesota, South Carolina, Wisconsin, you know, as far as population goes. So when we start talking these numbers, you're like, yeah, it's not these gigantic numbers that we're getting out of New Jersey, where we know not only is New Jersey far more populous, nearly twice as populous, but also getting the bleed over money coming from New York. And then even the people who, you know, maybe are closer to who, for whatever reason, want to drive across the border from Pennsylvania or something like that. Yeah, I mean, those numbers, as you mentioned, that's when it really starts to go, oh, wow. OK, because that's a big, big, big difference.
It is. And I think it speaks to the opportunity for multiple books to have a place in that market. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk so much about FanDuel, DraftKings, and now Barstool and BetMGM really is the big four across the country. And I think that's going to hold no matter what, just because the marketing costs to really put yourself out there are so high. But if we're seeing this kind of per capita spend for a sports betting customer, not out of the question that some of these regional based operators could have a place moving forward if they're able to keep up this level of spend.
Yeah. And, you know, these other states that are propped up too, as we mentioned, by people, you know, crossing the border to make some bets or something like in Colorado. I mean, you and I know this side of the country's geography pretty well, but I mean, it's, you know, it's bordered by Wyoming and Kansas and New Mexico. And so, and the major cities in any of those places are not anywhere near the borders of Colorado. So they're not getting, you know, these kind of people who are just crossing over, placing bets and then heading back out of the state, like we're getting in a New Jersey or in some of these other states that are going on. So that pretty much is all Colorado people that are betting into that as well.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at what Denver has become over the last 10 years or so, you see there's a pretty solid demographic that gives itself to sports betting, mm-hmm. right? You have a much younger community that has moved into the urban part of Denver and, you know, kind of made that city into, I don't want to say a hipster city, but there's a hipsterish mm-hmm. element to it where you've got that, you know, that age group of people. And of course, you have all four major professional sports there yep. as well. So, you know, it's progressive in that the University of Colorado has that deal with PointsBet, which has taken its headquarters and dropped it right down there in Denver. So the Colorado momentum appears real.
Let's talk about and listen, Dustin, if you're listening, you know, I would have loved to have seen the look on your face as we were talking about this story right here, because Dustin has been dealing with the Oregon Lottery. And listen, it's not as bad. And there were some hiccups along the way, but the product itself, I think he was kind of pleased with over the course of their, you know, existence there. But it does look like Dustin's going to have another option over there in Oregon. And I know I am jealous, Adam, and I can only imagine that you are as well.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a
yeah.
bit. Yeah. The Scoreboard app is not long for this world up in Oregon. The proprietary app running through the Oregon Lottery that has been powered on the back end by SB Tech. Of course, SB Tech was acquired by DraftKings last year, and now DraftKings is in the process of incorporating the SB Tech stack into what it does day to day, so that it no longer will be working with Kambi down the line to provide its trading. So now we see that the DraftKings app is going to roll out before too long up in Oregon. That news came out of the Oregon Lottery Commission meeting last week that Dustin was paying very close attention to, as you might expect, mm-hmm. Trying to get more information about that. Interestingly, we saw that this could be sort of a test market for DraftKings in terms of taking the SB Tech technology and working it into what it does mm-hmm. in sort of a low risk environment, right? Oregon, not a huge handle state. If something were to go wonky, you know, in terms of working this new tech stack in, they'd have the opportunity to work it out before right. you put it out there in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. So before too long, the bettors in Oregon will have only one app, but it'll be one app that is just far better than the many we have available here in Nevada.
Just far better. And I think one of the things you pointed out there is something that we haven't really talked about a ton here on the podcast is something we can talk about now, because you just naturally led into it here, is that as they continue to move into, you know, off of Kambi, this actually is going to provide bettors out there with a new market. I mean, essentially a whole new thing here, because Rivers runs off of Cambie. So you are, if you're in a state where you have, you know, Rivers as part of the mix, then you're getting the same, you're getting dealt the same stuff at DraftKings as you are at Rivers. They're both provided by Cambie on the back end. And so if you're in one of those states that has both, you're about to get, you know, I mean, we don't know how quickly this will all get rolled out, and we don't know how soon it'll be implemented. But when it all is said and done, it's almost like you're getting a new book in town, because there's going to be different lines and different live lines and different offerings and things like that as well. So that's something to look forward to if you happen to live in one of those states.
Yeah, Matt, it's a great point you make about DraftKings coming to Oregon and providing essentially a new book when it moves over to its own tech stack. Now, to be clear, with Cambie, even though it is providing the trading services to multiple books, there is some small level of customization that is available to the different books, where they can tweak the odds if they want to. But writ large, you're getting the same trading platform if you're using those two books. And so if you're someone who's going to be out there shopping odds, you should be someone who's out there shopping odds, then you're going to like the idea that you might be getting not only different odds, but potentially different markets, different types of offerings when it comes to what you're dealing with in Oregon and in other places as well, where you're going to have multiple apps to work with. Now, Cambie is still going to be in the U.S. market, but DraftKings moving to SB Tech could provide a difference there. And to the one dear reader out there who, when we posted this story earlier, said, why did DraftKings spend all that money on SB Tech if they're not going to use the technology? That's the point. They are. That's the whole idea.
Yeah. It's getting there. It's a thing. It's a process. Contracts and, you know,
computers
and legal things and whatever and all the and all that. All right. Take us home here with some quick state updates.
Oh, I would love to do that for you. Let's start in Virginia, where not only did we get an update for the beginning of that market that showed that pretty robust, almost $60 million of handle in the first 11 days in Virginia, which, of course, is right prior to the Super Bowl. But Matt, who was on the show earlier, of course, he noticed in last year's bill that something was a little wonky in the language about how many books could be offered, how many licenses could be offered. He got some pushback on that from the sponsor of the bill. Turns out Matt's reading of it was right, and they had to go back this year and put another bill in there to clean up the language to make sure that you could have 12 licenses available plus the ones available to the professional sports franchises. Those bills are on their way to the governor right now, so that change is likely coming in Virginia. Over in Georgia, it looked like we were starting to get some momentum for sports betting in Georgia, professional teams behind it, multiple bills moving through the legislature. Well, if you pay attention to the news at large, you'll understand what's going on in Georgia, where there have been a number of voter suppression bills, as they've been put by Democrats, being pushed by Republicans. And the Democrats are in certain committees kind of holding other bills hostage to try to work against these voter suppression bills. And one of those bills happens to be sports betting at the moment. So the prospects for sports betting are tangled in other bills. And this is why we say all the time, when it looks like a state is a lock, air quotes, to legalize, realize it's not just a matter of looking at the opportunity and saying, sure, let's do it. We have to do this. No, there are other factors at play.
Yeah, there are many stuff going on behind the scenes. Plenty
going on behind the scenes. There have been plenty of factors and things going on behind the scenes in Connecticut for quite a long time. But we have an update today that Governor Ned Lamont and the two gaming tribes in the state, the Mohegan and the Mashantucket Pequot, appear to have come to an agreement on new tribal compacts to include sports betting. So Connecticut has been for a while a state where you look at it and say, all right, New Jersey's got it. New York's got retail at the very least. Massachusetts has 14 bills going right now, so they're probably going to legalize. Come on, Connecticut, get with the times. And it looks like, more so than past years, there's a chance Connecticut's going to get this going. Down in Maryland, of course, we mentioned Virginia earlier in the DMV area. Maryland voters approved this in the fall for sports betting to be part of their landscape, but it's moving a little slowly right now in the legislature. The legislature, of course, has to come up with a structure. They have to have the licensure and the taxes and so on. And hearing this week that it didn't quite go as smoothly as I think some proponents had hoped. So, you know, keep in mind, even when it's legal, it can be a slow walk to get things going, as you, my friend, know about your dear daily fantasy sports down in Louisiana. Still trying to figure it all out. So anyway, as the case may be, Maryland will try to get things moving here before too long. And we will have all of the updates, not only, as we mentioned, for all the reporters, Pat Evans and Matthew Waters and Brad Allen, but at LegalSportsReport.com, we are tracking the movements of all of those bills. If you want to track them yourselves, we have a sports betting bill tracker, a tool that you can use right on the website. And that way you don't have to have any human interaction with any of us. You can just go
and there you have it.
Bill tracker.
There you go. And that is just the best way to do it sometimes. You know, sometimes you just want to get the information yourself and move on. Not have to hear this, the sultry tones of Adam Candy's voice, you know, coming at you.
You don't want to be put to sleep. It's understandable, right? You don't want the lullaby of hearing me talk about multiple states and sports betting and then questioning what did you just spend the last 5 minutes of your life on.
I can't imagine how jarring it must be for people listening to this podcast right now to go from your voice to my voice, back to your voice to my voice. It's got to be just horrible for them. They're like, oh, I love it so much when Adam speaks. And then they just want to stab themselves in the side of the head with an ice pick whenever I talk.
No, listen, contrast makes the world go round. If everybody sounded the same, then what would be interesting in listening to music, listening to great podcasts like this that you should, what should we do? Subscribe, rate, and review.
All right. Yes, that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Head
over to Legal Sports Report. All the stories that we have on the podcast, you can find in written form over there. So be sure and check out all of that and go to your favorite podcast listening device, whatever that might be. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. We're on all of those. Go and subscribe, rate, and review, and it'll just be delivered right to your phone every single time we go live. You don't have to wait and come and listen to it on the site. And of course, as always, you should follow Adam on the Twitter machine at Adam Candy. That is two E's. Know why. And if you really find some reason that you like this voice, I can't imagine that you would. You can follow me at Matt Brown M2 over on the Twitter machine as well. Thanks again to Matt Waters for joining us earlier. For Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.